The name of our podcast is Strange Fruit, Musings on Politics, Pop Culture, and Black Gay Life. The hosts are Jason Gardner and Dr. Kyla Story. The producers are Jason Gardner, Dr. Kyla Story, and Laura Ellis. We are located in Louisville, Kentucky. Strange Fruit is an irreverent weekly podcast that combines thought-provoking discussion and humor to navigate complex subjects. What you're about to hear is an excerpt from our Pride issue from last June, our Pride episode from last June, where we discuss our favorite moments in LGBTQ history. Take a listen.
Doc, before we go, I wanted, it was your idea that we both kind of put together our list. And usually I'm the list guy, right?
Because you like lists.
I'm the list guy.
You like lists.
Of the show. And so, but you, it was your idea to kind of, for us both to compile a list of five moments, if you will, or people, places, or things that have been significant to LGBT history or equality or rights. And, you know, as we celebrate Pride Month. And so you compile a list of five things. I compile a list of five things. And I will give you this caveat that most of my things are pop culture related, because y'all know I put the pop culture in the title and you like do the more serious stuff. And so your list is probably going to be a lot more thoughtful than mine. And mine is going to be a little bit more frivolous, but I'll let you go first.
Okay, so I do all five?
No, you give me one, and I'll give you one. And again, y'all, this is no particular order, and it's not like the order of importance. These are just, you know, you're going to give us five moments you think have been pivotal to, like, queer rights. So,
okay, so my first moment is in 1950, the Mattachine Society is formed by activist Harry Hay, and it's one of the first sustained gay rights groups in the United States. It focused on social acceptance and other support for gay folk.
Oh, the Mattachine Society. Yes. You often talk about them in your class. They preceded a lot of even like what we know as the HRC,
definitely,
the task force, a lot of the modern day.
Yeah, because they're formed in 1950. Yeah. Same with Daughters of Bilitis, which was a lesbian organization. And again, both organizations were very conservative, and their agenda was more so about tolerance and acceptance, as opposed to more
like pushing the envelope forward.
Yeah, as opposed to more, you know, I don't care about what you think. I'm going to be me, right?
Okay.
So we change the praxis and go from kind of gay tolerance to queer activism, you know, after 1950. But yeah, 1950, the first little...
The Mattachine Society, the first little gay house.
Okay,
the
little
house
gay
of,
group.
The House of Mattachine.
Okay, yes.
Okay, well, okay, so on my list... And please don't laugh, y'all, at my choices, child.
Okay, what is it?
I have the Roseanne Kiss episode.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
Okay, so you remember.
I love that episode.
You know me. You know, child, I love my pop culture. So I think it was Sandra Bernhardt, right?
No, it was Muriel Hemingway.
Okay, Muriel Hemingway. Okay, yeah. But Sandra was on that show. So, yeah, so that was all this. Because, you know, child, I was just, like, at home looking for any taste of gay anything on TV, child. Whatever, like,
so pressed.
I was just meddling, like, reading the paper, listening to the grown people conversation, like, what gay was about to happen on
You're
TV, child.
So pressed.
You know, back then, they would build up things for months and months. Like, he's going to be a gay kiss on Roseanne.
Okay.
You know? So, like, you, like, get your popcorn, like, go in your room, close your door, like, turn on your TV. So, you know, so that was this episode where there was supposed to be like this lesbian character on Roseanne. I guess she had a crush on Roseanne, and then they were going to kiss, you know? So I was in Sojo, so excited. And I like watched the episode, but it wasn't even like no for real like French kiss.
I mean, it wasn't.
It was like a touch
pop kiss.
It was like a touch our lips kiss, but then they, even the way they shot it was like, you couldn't like really see the lips on the lips. You know, like it was like the camera angle was like buck and weird.
Yeah, because wasn't her character a lesbian? Meryl Hemingway was an actual lesbian.
Yes, yes.
Who befriended Roseanne. They go to the lesbian bar. Yes. And then Muriel, because Roseanne is so kind and doesn't care if she's gay, kisses her, where it's this humorous moment because Roseanne's like, well, I'm not gay.
Yeah,
you know,
but she's down for that kiss, though.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that was my moment. That was a big deal for a kid coming into his own in the 80s and 90s. So, anyway,
oh my God,
what you got?
It.
Number two for you.
Okay, number two, of course, is in 1969, Stonewall Riots.
Okay.
And again, mine are kind of dry and boring and kind of go in terms of like historical moments in Pride history. But, you know, but Stonewall is extremely important. It was a crucial turning point in the gay rights movement. It went from this idea of tolerance and, you know, essentially people having to put up with gay folk to much more of an
in-your-face
kind of queer activist politic. And that was in 1969. In 2015, New York actually made the Stonewall Inn a landmark in the city.
Yes.
So
I've been to Stonewall when DJ and I, my daughter DJ and I, went to New York, you know, about a year ago. I actually got to go to the Stonewall Inn. It was just so neat.
It's not a huge bar,
but actually, so where Stonewall is now is not the same bar where they have the riots. It's like, I think that was like a fire of some sort, or it's the same block, the same space, but it's been like migrated and like redesigned and stuff like that. But but I have a picture of myself outside of the Stonewall.
Well, what's so crucial about it is after this riot, right, which is the first Pride March.
Yeah.
The first Pride is a riot, right? Yes. After this riot, over 700 LGBT, gay and lesbian, trans organizations across the United States spring up.
Yeah.
I mean, nonprofits, activist groups,
absolutely.
Over 700
absolutely.
After Stonewall takes place. So it is a really pivotal, changing moment
absolutely.
At that point. Yay.
Yeah. I love it. That was a good one.
Okay,
you ready for my number two?
Okay, yeah.
And again, don't laugh at me, y'all.
No, I enjoy yours. Okay. You're so festive.
Speaking of sitcoms, Ellen DeGeneres comes out on her Ellen show.
Oh, my God, yes.
And just a little bit of trivia, the Ellen show, before she had, not her talk show, y'all, because if you're under 25, you don't know. But if you're 30 and over, you know, before her talk show, she had the Ellen DeGeneres show,
yes.
her sitcom. And before it was called the Ellen show, it was called These Friends of Mine. Like the first season, the show was actually called These Friends of Mine. And they changed it into the Ellen show. Just a little bit of trivia for y'all. So, yeah. So, again, that was a lot of build up because people, and again, I knew Ellen was gay. She had that movie, like Mr. Right or something. And, you know, it was obvious that Ellen never looked good in like a wedding dress. So, you know, we knew she was a lesbian, right? But that was all this like speculation, like, is she going to come out on her show? And like Oprah was going to be on the show and play her therapist. So, again, that was all this build up. You know what I'm saying? As to what was going to happen. And so, you know, on the show, she's like in the supermarket or something. And she like grabs the microphone and says like, I'm a lesbian. And so it was a big deal. And simultaneously, she also comes out, not just a character on the sitcom, but also in real life on the cover of like The Advocate or Out Magazine or something. She comes out in real life as well. And so that was a big deal.
It
sucked because after that, she like lost her TV show.
And, yeah, like, they basically got blacklisted. Canceled the show and like fired
Yeah, like ran out the country. Yeah. But so that's my number two.
And it's pop so culture. Funny because my students only know Ellen the Cover Girl.
Yeah.
Only know Ellen who's married
to Portia DeRossi. They don't remember Ellen and Anne Heche.
I mean, remember that?
And that was Scandalous Child.
That was the tea.
Yeah,
honey.
That was a mess.
When Anne Heche was going knocking. Remember after Ellen broke up with her, she was going door knocking and crying.
Yeah, getting bucked.
I mean, that was.
That was good.
Okay,
so
oh
yes.
my God.
Okay, I told you my list would be good. Okay.
Okay, you're
number three for you. Number three.
Okay, my boring number three.
Okay. It's not boring.
No,
it's informative.
Okay, yes. In 1973, the American Psychiatric Association removed gay from the list of mental disorders.
And that's important what they call the DSM, which I guess is the guiding rule book of mental and why was that important, Doc? Because back in the day, they would do like lobotomies. They would do all kind of like scientific stuff on you if you were LGBT under the auspices of you had some kind of illness that needs to be cured.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was young, and this actually relates to pop culture.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite movies because it's my favorite actress. Well, one of my favorites.
Okay.
Okay. One of my favorite white actresses, which is Angelina Jolie, because she always plays.
Yes, Angelina.
She always plays somebody's maverick and somebody's gay character.
She's getting bucked, yeah.
From like that one movie where her character's name is Legs. I think it's called Foxfire. She was like kind of gay. Then she played Gia, the gay model.
Okay.
Right? And then she played in Girl Interrupted with Winona
Ryder. Yeah, she got bucked in that, but that was good.
And she was getting so bucked in that, right? Because she actually plays a psychopath. And she's like, they break into the therapist's office.
Yeah.
And they're so excited. And they're reading their files and they start crying. Some of them start crying.
About what the therapist said about them.
And, you know, and they said, oh my God, you're a psychopath, to Angelina Jolie. And she's like, yep, there's very few of us and most of us are men, right?
Yes.
And so then the lesbian who's in there says, I'm a psychopath. And she's like, no, you're a dyke.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just love that part because, like,
it hits at the notion of, baby, you just ain't here because you're gay.
It wasn't just about, like, oh, let's go to therapy. It was about, like, locking you in mental institutions.
Yeah.
So, 1973, they get rid of it.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Okay,
that was a good one. Are you ready for my number three?
Yes.
So, you know, one of my favorite reality shows, really one of the first kind of modern day reality shows, was The Real World on MTV.
Oh my God.
You know, like, it really was. Like, I used to, like, as a kid, that's the show I wanted to be on, child. Like, I used to watch every season, child. I remember when Tammy, who people know now from Basketball Wives, used to be on The Real World.
Yeah.
Remember, she had an abortion on TV. That was a big deal for the time.
Yes.
Remember, she got the boy kicked out of the house because he, like,
that black boy.
That black
that
boy.
That actually started a trend of all the black roommates who are black men. man getting kicked out of their
basically,
house.
Basically, yeah. Because they said that he like tried to like basically pull her blanket off of her when she was like naked. And anyway, all that to say, I love The Real World. Yes. Well, there was a time in the 2000s when they kind of did what I thought was a big deal. And that's when they cast Karamo on The Real World. I don't remember his season, maybe Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, Karamo.
And Karamo was interesting, not just to me, but to the public, because Karamo identified as a gay man, a gay black man, but he presented himself as a more masculine presenting, more masculine acting black man. And again, I know we exist on every range of the spectrum, right, from feminine mm-hmm. to masculine, but I think that he was a different script than what people were used to. They were used to the hyper and uber effeminate gay black man on television, right, as the accessory, as the gay pet. And mm-hmm. so Karamo, I think, not only for his roommates, for a lot of the watching audience, helped to redefine what it meant to be a black gay man, and that one could still rock Timberlands and one could still rock snapbacks. Although I never really wore either, but you know, he was very interesting, you know, and he was very interesting. And Karamo to this day has been a vanguard of black gay men on television, and he does some really wonderful work now. And so I thought it was just really cool to have a black gay dude, because there were a lot of black men on The Real World, like Steven and like Tech Money, mm-hmm. who were kind of like suspect, you know, but they like would get naked and jump in the pool. They're really suspect. They kind of hinted at their queerness.
And they had Pedro.
They had Pedro Zamora, of course. Oh, seeing that he should be on my list. But let's just make him like
number three. I know
we'll make him three. We'll make him 3B. Pedro did a lot. Pedro, was he on the first season?
I don't know. No, it was not the first season. I think it was the third.
But a couple of like, yeah.
And I mean, did he die on the show?
He did not die on. He died after the show. I think.
I feel like it.
But Pedro was openly gay. He was mm-hmm. a Latino man, and he was HIV positive.
Yeah.
And
he was like so culturally aware.
Yes. His boyfriend, his husband was black. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was such an activist.
Yeah.
I mean, when it came to ideas of race and racism.
Yeah.
When it came to
Pedro Zamora. Yeah.
Yeah. When it came to all the stigma surrounding HIV.
Yeah.
I mean, he, I think, provided a lot of lay audiences who might not be activists or intellectuals.
He
in
did
any way,
such a vulnerable way. Know? Like he like, I mean, you talk about for the early night, like even though the HIV epidemic was not as bad as it was in the 80s in terms mm-hmm. of misinformation, like he put himself in a really vulnerable position in the 90s that really put his life on Front Street. Thank you for that. Thank you for the reminder. That was a good one.
Pedro.
So I'll say Karamo and Pedro as part of the Real World series. So, all right, give me a number four.
Okay, my number four. And my number four is like kind of goes with my number five, but they're like 2 years apart.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, so in 2013, the Supreme Court struck down the Defense of Marriage Act.
Okay.
So in a 5-4 decision.
Yes.
Right? So that's my number four.
Yes.
There was a Defense of Marriage Act. Which
Bill Clinton did that, right?
Definitely the Clintons,
okay.
right?
Let's
forget.
Okay.
And that was in 2013. So that's when I was,
2013, you would have been 33.
Yeah, I was 33. Yeah. Oh, I was trying to make myself young. I was like, girl, I was 23.
You were like, I was 23. You're like, I was like 16. It's like, no, girl. Girl, you
old. So, no, I really wasn't. I was like 33 years old. Yeah, but they knocked it down because, again, the Defense of Marriage Act was all about defining marriage between one man and one woman and certainly. All this BS.
Yeah.
So
and that kind of paved the way for states to begin to legalize on their own marriage equality, and then that also kind of laid the groundwork for what I presume is going to be your number five. Let me go to my number four real quick.
Okay,
my number four. Dennis Rodman played in the NBA. You know Dennis Rodman.
Yes, yeah.
Obviously, I'm not an athlete kind of guy, you know, whatever. But Dennis Rodman was a big deal because he was in the NBA. And although he does not, I guess if you ask him today, he probably would identify as straight. But I think that back then he identified as bisexual. Even though, like, I bought his book. He had that book, Bad As I Want to Be, where he was on the motorcycle naked on the cover of the book. I bought his book. And, you know, and I mostly bought it for, like, the pictures.
But they
never really show anything below the waist. But, you know, he identified as bisexual, even though he maintained that he had never really been with a dude. Mm-hmm. But he said that he still, you know, I thought that was brilliant because that illuminated the idea that one can have a sexuality without having had to have had the sex itself. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And people be like, how you bisexual? You ain't been with both. It's like, well, I mean, how you straight? You're a virgin. Like, can straight people be virgins? You know, so I really, but you remember Dennis Rodman wore that wedding dress? Do you remember?
I remember that with lipstick and everything.
I loved it. Oh my goodness!
And like a crown.
And he always had his blonde hair, and you just couldn't tell me nothing. And he made it. He made it okay. He made it possible, whether one was gay or not gay or whatever. He made it possible to just be a black boy who was just different.
That's
and I just
true.
Really and I really really loved Dennis Rodman for that. So that he was really. I tell you what, in terms of my early role models, again, he got buck, and you know, now he's like hanging out in North Korea, but or whatever. But
I don't know what he's doing.
He's getting really buck right now. But he was an early role model for me. So shout out to Dennis Rodman.
Okay,
all right, give me your number five, Doc.
Okay, I have two like number fives.
Okay.
So my obvious number five was related to my number four.
Okay.
It is so ordered, the Supreme Court rules that gay marriage is legal in all 50 states, 2015.
Okay. Yes.
So 2 years ago, it was ruled that same-sex marriage, legal, 2015, and it's pure. And my 5B is also in 2015, in December, we have Keke Palmer come out as sexually fluid.
Okay.
Which I think is a really, really big deal.
Why? And why is that?
I just think it's a big deal because we don't oftentimes see African-American entertainers or singers or, you know, folks in
media. Especially young people,
who are young and black and gay, right? Yeah. There's not a lot of visibility around young black queer identity.
Yeah.
And I think it was very important for Palmer, someone like Palmer, right?
Who's done Akilah and the Bee, who did Scream Queens, who's really been one of the preeminent young black actresses right now.
And what's interesting too is she does this in 2015 where she's basically like, I'm sexually fluid.
Yeah.
Right. And then all the subsequent interviews after that, always all the interviewers, you know, including Wendy.
Okay.
And I like Wendy, but.
Okay.
Wendy
tried this sometime.
They always ask her about men. Yeah. Are you dating any? Do you have a man?
You got a boyfriend?
Do you have a boyfriend? Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, she does this 2 years ago, and everyone always wants to gender what prospective partner or person that she's looking for or dating or all of this. And so at the same time that this was a really kind of landmark thing, people still try to write her as straight. And I just wonder, what is the investment in suppressing black, queer, femme kind of identities? Yeah. I wonder what that's about. Like, you know, I mean, even Queen Latifah. I mean, she's not out. Everyone knows that she's gay.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't have a lot of visibility when it comes to gay women.
You're absolutely right about that. You're right about that. That's a brilliant point.
So, Keke.
All right, well, drum roll, please. My number five.
Okay, yes.
Probably my favorite on the list. Noah's Ark, the TV show, of course, on Logo, y'all. And
you
remember, Chad, we used to watch that together.
I bought the series.
I bought both seasons.
Hate that it was only
like two or three. Yeah, two seasons.
To me, is a brilliant
Patrick Ian Polk. Yes,
or Patrick Ian Polk.
Yes,
like Ian Patrick Polk.
Yeah, Patrick Ian Polk. And so for those of you all who don't know, you know, like the Logo channel was really popular now, of course, for RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes,
but before that was Drag Race, the flagship program of that show was Noah's Ark. And so Patrick Ian Polk did Noah's Ark, which was basically like a melodramatic series about like
a black gay male Sex and the City.
Yeah, but I would argue Sex and the City was like a white women's Noah's Ark. So, you know,
Sex and the City comes first.
But it doesn't matter. It's Noah's Ark was incomparable. Ooh, don't do that.
But it was that kind of a show, genre,
or Friends, or
it was dramatic.
It was
dramatic. It was funny. It was interesting.
Yes.
It taught you
It was
lessons.
That kind of a story. Yes. It was about what does it mean to be friends, to navigate dating and sex and health and fun and family. And it was a really wonderful show. And you and I would get together at your apartment, channel. We would watch it. Sing the theme song.
I'm
not gonna say that.
All I see, and that
is you and me.
Back when we were free. Yes.
So
that was the jam.
We'll have to play that sometime. Okay. Maybe even try to find that artist and have her come.
I love that song.
On one of our shows. But yeah, so it was a really wonderful theme song and a really wonderful series with Noah and Wade. And it was just brilliant. I remember one time I used to just like watch the show and just start crying. Like it was just so, you know, even though like now you look at it, the acting was kind of bad, no shade.
Yeah.
It was kind of cheesy, but just to see your life reflected on TV, like on like for real TV.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like not on PBS, no shade, on Ball of Rigs, you know what I'm saying? Or not on like even like HBO, like on Real Sex, but like on a, like a legitimate TV show.
Sex.
You know, because on Real Sex is like black gay people, but they're like some kind of like strippers or like something buck going on.
Okay.
But this was just regular gay people just getting buck. Navigating life, and so for me, like I would watch it, and I started crying because y'all know my story. You know, it was like Blaine Antoine on Living Color. It was Jerry Springer. It was never anything positive, and this was like the first time you have like not just one, but like five black people who are gay.
And it came out, and then after they canceled it, then the movie
they
came.
They did two movies.
Yeah,
and so it was just really really cool. It sucks that Logo canceled that show. There really was no reason.
And I don't even know why they didn't bring it back.
They didn't have a reason to. I mean, it was the highest rated thing on that channel. It was their flagship program. The way the Drag Race is now is their flagship program, but that's the way they do black people, child. I mean, let's keep it real.
Yeah.
But that was my list.
Oh my God, I love your list.
Y'all loved your list too. Okay.